you're a bum, but, you know, any higher than that, you're not really sagging. So what ends up happening is if you watch these guys walk...
Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled. From the studio gym where excuses never apply, it's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Hey, hey, welcome back to another episode of Superhuman Radio. This is episode number 2001. I got a lot of really nice compliments on Facebook, thanks to Elisa Profumo alerting people that yesterday was our 2000th show. And actually, that's not true. The first 2 years I started doing the show, we didn't number the episodes. We actually used the date of the episode as the number. So we really have some amount over 2,000 shows. But today is 2001, Space Odyssey. So there you go. We're going to be talking about a dietary supplement that could improve heart health in just a moment with Dr. John Quindry. After we're done discussing that, we're going to be joined by Dr. Paul Spector. He is a featured writer on the Huffington Post. We're going to talk about aging, muscle, and weight gain, the relationship between those three. And actually, it fits nicely into what we like to talk about on this show. And then we're going to be joined by Dr. Max Goodson to talk about a study that links the changes in oral microbiome with the onset of metabolic disorders. You know, more and more can be done in the dentist's office, we're finding out, in the way of screening. So we'll talk about that in a little bit later in the show. But without further delay, let's get on with Dr. John Quindry. How you doing, Dr. Quindry?
I'm doing great. Thanks.
Welcome. So you are Associate Professor of Health and Human Performance at the University of Montana in Missoula. And you, your group recently published a study looking at a supplement, a dietary supplement that's been around for quite some time. Why, first of all, and it's quercetin. We're going to talk more about it. Why this study? What led you to look at quercetin for this purpose?
What it really boiled down to is my lab group and collaborators across the country have been looking for sustainable, cost-effective, and pragmatic ways to solve real medical heart health issues. And it just so happened that, kind of serendipitously, that I've been working in cardioprotection for the better part of two decades, and I'd also done some side studies in humans with some different collaborators on the supplement quercetin, mostly finding that it didn't have much benefit relative to exercise and free radical quenching relative following exercise. And it all just sort of came together at one time relative to Duchenne muscular dystrophy.
So quercetin is actually, I was first introduced to quercetin as a supplement by Bill Sardi at the time when resveratrol became all the rage for its increasing sirtuins and thought to be an anti-aging product. He came out with one that was combined quercetin and resveratrol. I never really knew about quercetin before that. I knew what it was. I knew it was a flavonoid found in certain fruits and also certain green leaves and stuff like that. So for the audience that doesn't know what quercetin is, just give them the Reader's Digest version.
Yeah, the short story is it's found in a lot of skins. So you've sort of alluded to apple skins, grape skins, onions, and then it can also be found in very high concentrations out of a leaf that's found on a plant in Brazil. And that's, if you were to buy it in a powdered form or get it as a supplement, it's probably coming out of that leaf from Brazil. But nonetheless, it's a naturally occurring compound and has very known, widely understood capacities to be anti-inflammatory, to be antioxidants in nature. And it also does activate the sirtuins and something chemically downstream of the of sirtuins called PGC1-alpha that promotes an improvement in theoretically in mitochondrial biogenesis.
But there's something I don't like about quercetin. And that is, it seems to bind to and deactivate IGF-1, which a lot of people within the anti-aging community say, oh, IGF-1 is bad. I don't think that the story is finished on IGF-1. I understand its role in cellular growth, and therefore it's a target for certain cancers. I still don't think that IGF-1 is the terrible molecule that people think it is. And so I've stayed away from quercetin because I want IGF-1. I want repair of tissue. I train hard in the gym. Is it true that quercetin does somehow impair, bind to, or cause the liver to remove IGF-1 from the system, or was that just a misunderstanding of mine?
I don't want to say it doesn't happen. I think, as with many supplements, there's information and misinformation, and I'm not sure if this falls in to which category. I'm not sure.
Okay. So let's talk about your research. How was your study designed?
Well, the study was designed to be as clinically relevant as could possibly be. And in that case, we wanted to find a couple different mouse models that we thought would mimic the human condition as much as could be. And in fact, choosing multiple mouse models of muscular dystrophy is exactly the way to get a clinical outcome, which is to say you can understand, if you compare them side by side, the different mice and the different treatments, when you have a clinical outcome and when you don't. And of course, our endpoint measures are the very things that you would measure in humans, like respiratory function and muscle function and cardiac changes and contractility and physical activity.
So you have this mouse model that I'm assuming it's this transgenic mouse that develops what is equivalent to muscular dystrophy in humans. You have a control group and a group that receives the active compound. Is that correct?
That's right. Yeah, and it turns out these aren't transgenic mice. Okay. They're spontaneous mutations, but they don't make the structural protein dystrophin, which is the cellular equivalent of a 2x4. You know, imagine having a house where the most, if not all, the 2x4s were gone, and you had to find other cellular, you had to find other structural ways to keep the walls together, and that's what happens in this devastating disease.
Great analogy. So, so what happens to the rodents that were given the quercetin versus the rodents that did not receive the quercetin?
Well, yeah, so we followed them for the lifespan. So we did a longitudinal study, and that's one of the things that it's a strength, and then in some other regards a weakness of the study design. But the strength is that we can follow these animals through the lifespan, and we think that gives it significant clinical relevance. And what we found was in the early days of treatment, which in one mouse they live not quite a year and a half, which is a little bit of a shortened lifespan on the mouse spectrum, and the other mouse really barely makes it to a year. And in any case, early on, their respiratory function is improved when they take quercetin, but it doesn't last long. It only lasts for a couple months, and there seems to be an age-related decline in their skeletal muscle response, such that when we examine their muscles on a bunch of different scientific levels at the end of the lifespan, at the end of the study, we found there was no quercetin benefit. In contrast to that, we found that there was benefit to the heart all the way to the end of the lifespan. Mm. And this is particularly true in the most severe disease model mouse.
So I've always been told that heart muscle is very different than skeletal muscle.
Yeah,
I don't know
true.
What that means. I don't know. I've been told people say, oh, well, heart muscle is more like nerve tissue than it. And I don't even know that that's accurate or true. I've never challenged it. So is there a great difference between skeletal muscle and heart muscle that would explain why the quercetin continues to work?
Yeah, it's a really insightful question. And the answer is almost certainly yes. And we have indirect evidence that we think we know what's going on. And you'd mentioned sirtuin activation by quercetin and even resveratrol, and we have evidence to suggest that's exactly what's happening. Quercetin activates sirtuin-1, which activates PGC1-alpha, which leads to this cascade of events that improve outcomes because the skeletal muscle and the heart muscle have more and better mitochondria.
Okay.
And so that's where they're similar.
Okay, so now the question comes, We understand a lot about autophagy that we never really understood before. Very recently, we did a show that showed that baseline and spikes in autophagy actually contribute to hypertrophy. You cannot have hypertrophy or protein synthetic response to training plus protein, which turns on mTOR. It's not optimized unless you have autophagy, which doesn't make sense when we look at bodybuilders who eat every couple hours. They even wake up in the middle of the night to eat. It's almost like they're getting bigger in spite of the fact. However, what we're starting to understand is that there is a baseline of autophagy that's different for everybody. And a lot of diseases are starting to be linked to the development of metabolic waste in the cells. I have to believe that the heart has some sort of special mechanisms because it's always working. It can't take off at night. I know that it dips at night, and that's its form of rest. But do you think that the quercetin is affecting, because an SIRT1 is upregulated during fasting. We know that autophagy is upregulated. Do you think that there's an autophagy mechanism here that's allowing the heart to rid itself of metabolic debris and work better longer?
Yeah, you know, we looked at that and we saw very little change in autophagy throughout the lifespan in the heart and in skeletal muscle. There were subtle differences, and it suggests that quercetin might improve basal autophagy. It's true in both tissues, but it wasn't an overwhelming data. And when it comes to autophagy, it's a moving target. And so you've got to look at a lot of different markers to sort of characterize the overall biological effect. And in our case, we have some evidence to suggest there's a slight improvement, but for the most part, it wasn't as prominent as some of the other outcomes we saw. But I think you're thinking exactly along the right lines.
We also know that the heart tends to be a hybrid engine, if you will. It obviously can run on glucose. It can also run on ketones. And like the brain, if ketones are present, it preferentially will use ketones as a substrate. The mitochondria run more efficient and cleaner on ketones. Is there any relationship with substrate utilization by the heart and quercetin?
I'm not aware of that information. I assume that there's someone's done some work on that. But in terms of the what's called metabolic reciprocity, being able to shift on demand based on what is or isn't available, I'm sure somebody must have started to look at that. But I have to admit, I've not read any of those data, any of those papers.
So Duchenne's muscular dystrophy is a horrible, horrible disease that strikes boys. It does strike girls, but much more so in boys, which always makes me wonder about the testosterone linkage in any of these diseases, that including autism. But anyway, I digress. So would quercetin then be and Duchenne's muscular dystrophy really attacks the heart more so. And is quercetin a candidate for further research in the treatment of this disease?
It is, and in fact, my research group, we have two new grants, and we're trying to do the next generation study to find if we can preserve what we've already identified in the heart while bolstering what we really didn't find in the skeletal muscle, or what we only found in the younger skeletal muscle, but not in the aged muscle.
Do you understand the mechanism of action? Have you elucidated why quercetin does what it does, even for short periods of time? On skeletal muscle, you may have to cycle it to keep it working. Obviously, you gave it to these rodents continuously. Is there any mechanism of action that you can see that made the heart function better and for a short time even skeletal muscle?
Yeah, this is a really important question. We've thought a lot about these very points, and we think most of the effects are coming through SIRT1, PGC1 alpha.
Mm-hmm.
But there's if you go to PubMed, if you really get and look at the breadth of literature that exists, there's reason to think that there's some other pathways, but they don't appear to be as potent as the SIRT1 PGC1 alpha. So we think that's the key. And you've mentioned they're fed through the lifestyle, and you mentioned the cycling of the supplement. We have tried and not succeeded in getting funding from NIH and other organizations to look at the way you dose it to potentiate these cellular signals. And the options would be, do you give one big bolus, you know, which would be the equivalent of, you know, maybe somebody with muscular dystrophy or somebody who's aging to take, you know, a quercetin supplement with breakfast, let's say, or take it a couple times a day. It's worth noting that the mice and the rats that we might feed, they nibble throughout the day. They eat all the time in little doses. They don't have three meals. And that might have an impact on how it signals at the cell level. And that's an important point to delineate between what we find in rodents and how it might apply to humans.
I want to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, I want to start talking about fasting and the hermetic effects of stress that many of these new agents like quercetin, like resveratrol, actually signal to the body and what role that may have here as well. Stay tuned. You're listening to Superhuman Radio.
Dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
Quest Keto is making the ketogenic lifestyle more delicious and more convenient than ever. The high-fat, moderate-protein, low-carb keto diet has earned a reputation for being complicated. Quest Keto has changed all of that by offering sweet and savory snacks and an entire line of ready-to-go ketogenic meals. They've taken the guesswork out of it for you. From keto cinnamon rolls, pizza, crackers, and more, you can enjoy it all and experience the benefits of this nutritious approach anytime, anywhere. Thanks to Quest Keto. Go to QuestKeto.com to order your meals today.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at LivonLabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's LivonLabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, Labs.com.
Let me ask you a question. Are you getting enough? I bet you'd love more, right? Well, AdamandEve.com wants to give you more with 10 free gifts. First, you'll get a sexy surprise for her. Second, a specially selected toy for him. And third, a little something we know you'll both enjoy. Plus, you'll get 6 full-length adult movies on DVD. And number 10, free shipping on your entire order. So what do you have to do to get your 10 free gifts? It's not hard. Just go to AdamandEve.com and select any one item. It could be an adventurous new toy, sexy piece of lingerie, or anything you desire. Just enter offer code GIFT30 at checkout, and you'll get all 10 free gifts. Go check out AdamandEve.com today. Select one item and get 10 free gifts, including free shipping, when you enter offer code GIFT30. That's GIFT30. At AdamandEve.com.
Alaskans agree that sockeye offers the truest salmon taste. Over decades of fishing Alaskan waters, Vital Choice has rare access to the very finest of these fish. Vital Choice sockeye comes from smaller harvest regions with fewer boats and faster processing. So our sockeye is flash frozen within hours of harvest to capture its fresh caught quality. Rich in flavor, omega-3s, and vitamin D, our most popular salmon also abounds in astaxanthin, the potent antioxidant that provides its vibrant red hue. Save 15% off. Go to Superhuman Radio and click the Vital Choice banner ad today.
AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your questions. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn, teach,
leave.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
This is the Superhuman Channel, doing reps with the weight of the world.
Suits trailer park girls go round the outside, round the outside, round the outside.
Welcome back. We're talking with Dr. John Quindry. We're talking about quercetin. I want to say resveratrol there. I just wrote that down. And its ability to protect the heart. This is really very, very interesting. So all of these exciting new molecules, resveratrol, quercetin, they all seem to increase the production of certain proteins that are seen to occur naturally in humans and in rodents when fasting occurs. In fact, there's a great interest in, I hate the word intermittent fasting, because the reality is you could fast all day and eat all night. That's not going to make you healthy. But I like to use the term a more ancestral meal frequency pattern. But fasting and fasting mimicking diets are all of interest today. And they, in and of themselves, increase SIRT1 and another one that we're just learning more about, and seem to have a beneficial effect on diseases like Alzheimer's disease, metabolic disorders, and so on. So I guess my question to you is the reason that maybe the presence of quercetin on a continuous basis may not be beneficial, for the same reason that there comes a point where fasting becomes starvation, and these molecules are exhibited under extreme conditions that signal stress to the body. So a little is good, a hormetic effect, and too much is bad.
I actually don't think that's the case, and there's a couple points to make. The first one being the quercetin has been given in extreme doses to animals. There's been essentially death and toxicology studies, and the death studies are called LD50 studies. What's the lethal dose where you kill half the animals,
right?
And it turns out you kind of can't do it with quercetin. And when we're talking orders of magnitude more than what you'd get over the counter as a supplement, which is orders of magnitude higher than you could possibly get in it by eating a barrel full of apples.
Right.
And so in this case, it doesn't seem to have any potency, and the FDA has actually approved quercetin with what's called GRAS status, generally regarded as safe. So that's point number one to make. Point number two is when you're really hitting the important keys to these natural stimuli, like caloric restriction or exercise or maybe, quercetin or resveratrol, they're almost superimposable in terms of the cell signaling cascades they activate, and then downstream of that, the endogenous mediators of cellular protection that get turned on, which could include fortifying the mitochondria and natural antioxidants, enzymes that are found in the cells. They all seem to turn these on, and I think what's maybe different than the way you described it is cells of the body are designed not to be overfed. Chronic feeding is a significant problem and leads to almost immediate metabolic derangement in cells throughout the body, and that is true in the fittest, healthiest individuals. Overfeed them for just one meal, and those biochemical changes will begin to occur, and if they're not sustained, the person will continue to be healthy. And so then the question is, would long-term quercetin push it over the edge? And to my knowledge, there's no evidence that that's the case, any more that there's than a reasonable amount of regular exercise would push somebody over the edge, in terms of from good health to bad. So I don't think this is an issue of too much of a good thing, though I certainly wouldn't recommend somebody rush right out by bunches of quercetin and take it beyond what would be recommended.
And that's the other question. So in an individual who is healthy, like a lot of times we'll see studies on fish oil. And people run out and start taking fish oil, but meanwhile they're eating fish regularly in their diet. They're getting a lot of omega-3s. They're not deficient in omega-3s. So they go, gee, I started taking 3 fish oil caps a day. I don't see those changes that were talked about in the study. Is the in the case of Duchenne's muscular dystrophy, we have an anomaly here that is causing the heart to malfunction. But aside from that particular disorder, do you think that quercetin can improve a healthy heart, or is it only do you think its only role will be in the pathological heart?
Yeah, the honest answer is I don't know. I think there's some room for quercetin to fortify what's already good in the heart. I'm not convinced that quercetin is going to take an okay heart and make it really great. I think the benefits in a healthy heart will be incremental at best.
One of the reasons why I asked about if you were aware of quercetin's role in reducing circulating IGF-1 is because some of the research on therapeutic approaches to diseases of the heart, like hypertrophy that leads to a weakening of heart muscle that eventually leads to congestive heart failure, that IGF-1 has the ability to remodel the heart and improve the quality and strength of the muscle. And so, this is why I asked if you were aware of quercetin's role in reducing IGF-1. So Duchenne's muscular dystrophy, as you point out, is a very unique form of derangement of the heart muscle. But in more cases than not, their hearts are coming apart, so to speak, because of lack of activity, untreated high blood pressure, and things like that. Do we see quercetin having a role with them? I mean, I know that you can't give prescriptive advice. That's not the goal here. But can people say, well, you know, I'm already taking magnesium, I'm taking D-ribose, I'm taking CoQ10, I'm taking PQQ. Yeah, quercetin may be a logical next investment.
Yeah, and of course the honest answer is I don't know. Would those people potentially benefit? And I think the answer is quite potentially yes. I haven't seen those studies, but I wouldn't be surprised if they showed benefit. And again, you've mentioned that a lot of these beneficial cellular signals get turned on, and again, what you find from resveratrol seems almost completely superimposable with what you get from quercetin. At least that's my read of the literature.
Right. What would you like both lay people and clinicians to take away from this research?
One of the things I want to take away is that we need to be very careful about the conclusions we draw from animal studies. And so right now, I'm not qualified as an academic scientist and not a physician. I'm not qualified to tell somebody with muscular dystrophy or the parents of somebody with muscular dystrophy what they should do. I don't know if quercetin will help, but I think there's a lot of promise that it could. But it's worth noting that there's a new movie on Netflix called The Fundamentals of Caring, which is about a boy with muscular dystrophy, and one of the early scenes involves his caretakers going through the different drugs and pharmaceuticals and supplements. And one of them that they feature is quercetin. And as a scientist, I'm sort of honored in the sense that, me and my collaborator, Josh Selsby, who've done all the work on this, so that's us. But in another sense, it's sort of sobering because, I hope it would work in those kids, but I hope it would also not cause any untoward effects or unintended consequences that don't get revealed in mice. And so we always need to be careful, especially when so much is at risk and with diseases like muscular dystrophy.
I know. You know, it's funny you say that, because I believe in so many of the things that I do to myself. And then I get the occasional question from someone who says, I've got this elderly parent. Do you think that would work for them? And part of me wants to say, probably so. The other part of me is hesitant because I'm afraid, because that could be reckless. I don't know. We are learning so much through the the new style of individualized medicine that much of the medical orthodoxy is yet to catch up to, that there is so many unique variants of what a human being can be out there through polymorphisms and evolutionary gifts and so on, that we're starting to understand that giving a generalized answer today is really quite quite risky and possibly reckless, because we just don't know what one person responds to favorably and another person doesn't. So it's interesting that you say that, because I believe that this is, you know, we want one answer. As humans, we want the silver. Just give me the answer. Just give me. I just had a girl email me the other day saying, my testosterone is high. My doctor wants to put me on a spironolactone. You know, what can I do? And it's like, there are a lot of reasons that your testosterone could be high. Like, too many. There's no way to just suggest. And really, telling a woman to just get on a drug to lower her testosterone without understanding where she is in her menstrual cycle, why her testosterone may be, you know, does she have PCOS? Is she insulin resistant? Insulin modulates and attenuates testosterone. There's just a myriad. You can't do that anymore. It's just impossible to say to a person, oh yeah, just take this. So it's really getting difficult. It really, really is. It's amazing. I love your research. I want to thank you so much for coming on the show today to talk about it.
It's been my pleasure.
Take care. We're going to have a quick commercial break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about the relationship between muscle, aging, and weight gain. Oh boy, stay tuned.
Uncoupling is the holy grail of fat loss. Making mitochondria work harder raises body temperature and metabolic rate without the jitters of stimulants. Now there is an over-the-counter mitochondrial uncoupler that will let you shred your body down to the last pounds of body fat. It's Trojan Horse. This is the supplement breakthrough of the decade. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Trojan Horse banner ad. Use coupon code SHR and save 20% off your order today. BlackstoneLabs.com. Trojan Horse.
Ever feel like you want something crunchy? From the company that gave us the Quest Protein Bar, now comes the Quest High Protein Potato Chips. With 21 grams of high quality protein and only 5 grams of carbs and no artificial ingredients. Just like Quest bars, you'll feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest High Protein Potato Chip banner ad today and get ready to be satisfied. Thanks to Quest Nutrition, chips just aren't what they used to be.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control over your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, check, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. Tax Mediation Services is accredited by the Better Business Bureau. Call now for a free case review and a price protection guaranteed quote.
Call Tax Mediation Services now at 800-616-0820. That's 800-616-0820. 800-616-0820.
The benefits of a ketogenic diet are immeasurable. Health, resist disease, mental function, and even performance. But getting into ketosis can take weeks, if even at all. Now you can get into ketosis in 10 minutes. KetoKana is the first ketone powder that has been clinically shown to switch you into a ketogenic state by providing a rush of ketones into the bloodstream. Like to train fasted or want to spare more muscle glycogen during workouts? Take a shot of KetoKana and hit it hard. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Keto Kana banner ad today.
Do you know how to properly use carbohydrates to ignite your performance in the field and in the gym? You will now, thanks to this free book by EFX Sports. The Carb User's Guide for Maximum Performance reveals why omitting carbohydrates from your diet can totally crush your gains. Ever wonder how many grams you need for your specific sport? Not anymore. We give you the critical number you need to dominate your competition. You'll even discover the super carb that's taking the athletic world by storm. You must try it to believe it. Go to getcarbolin.com/carb guide today and get your copy absolutely free. Once again, it's getcarbolin.com/carbguide.
Hey, this is Carl. I want to remind you of the importance of electrolytes. Because of all the workout supplements on the market today, I think electrolytes are the most important but the most overlooked. Check out the new Jigsaw Electrolyte Supreme. It contains a broad spectrum of electrolytes plus a few extra minerals and vitamins. The lemon-lime flavor tastes great, and it comes in single-serving packets that make it easy for you to take on the go. Visit superhumanradio.com and click the Jigsaw Electrolyte Supreme banner ad today and save 10% off your purchase.
Do you know how to properly use carbohydrates to ignite your performance in the field and in the gym? You will now, thanks to this free book by EFX Sports. The Carb User's Guide for Maximum Performance reveals why omitting carbohydrates from your diet can totally crush your gains. Ever wonder how many grams you need for your specific sport? Not anymore. We give you the critical number you need to dominate your competition. You'll even discover the super carb that's taking the athletic world by storm. You must try it to believe it. Go to getcarbolin.com/carb guide today and get your copy absolutely free. Once again, it's getcarbolin.com/carbguide.
This is the Superhuman Channel. Evolution just got kicked up a notch.
Big sight. New. Hank. Big
yeah. Welcome back. You know, if you've ever gone to camp, right? You get to camp and you look for people that you'll get along with, to pal around with, right? You find people who have similar interests, and then all of a sudden you bond with them because you realize, wow, this person gets it. They're just like me. And I have a funny feeling this interview is going to be one of those moments for me. Over 11 years ago when I started doing the show, the earlier shows, I used to close every episode by saying muscle is metabolic currency, so get into the gym and make a deposit today. I tell the listeners, look, you don't want to have a bunch of money in your 401k and no muscle on your carcass, because you're going to spend the last 30 years of your life in a wheelchair waiting for someone to push you into the TV room or change your diaper. And this is becoming more and more evident today, with more and more good research showing that strength is related to not only longevity, but health span. I found my next guest quite by accident. He is a feature writer at the Huffington Post, and he writes about this stuff, and I'm really geeking out to have him on the show. It's Dr. Paul Spector. How you doing, Dr. Spector?
Good, thanks. Good to be here.
Thank you. So let's start with this. Most of your articles discuss the relationship between aging, muscle, and weight gain. So let's kind of start with that. Why do we gain weight when we get older? And what can we do differently?
Sure. You know, I think there's a lot wrapped up in these three categories. You know, if you're talking about weight, I think it's another misconception, as you point out, about how people have viewed muscle in a sort of wrong-headed way. When people speak about weight, they're not really speaking about weight. You know, people say they want to lose weight. I don't think that's true. I think what they want to do is either look better, fit into some clothing, feel better, you know, move more easily. None of those things are really related to losing weight. Usually, if someone's losing weight, there's something bad going on.
Right, cachexia. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But if you want to talk about what these people are aiming for, I think you need to talk about body composition, which brings us back to muscle.
Yes.
And again, you know, we're really talking about what is your body made of? What is the ratio of lean mass, muscle mass, to fat? That's the important thing. And what we've learned, we've learned some very important things that have changed our whole conceptualization of this stuff over the past couple decades. One has to do with fat. Fat used to be seen as just this inert energy depot. It sat there, you know, you take in more calories than you use, it gets stored, you use it when you need it. We now know that that's a small part of the story. Fat is one of the most active organs in the body. and it secretes all sorts of chemical messages. And those things, when you have too much of it, cause inflammation. And inflammation is the first chapter in everything that goes wrong.
Right.
Every disease entity right out there. So it's active. It's associated with cancers. It's associated with cardiovascular disease. It's associated with diabetes. So having too much fat isn't just an aesthetic thing or, your joints don't like it. It causes disease. And then if you look at the other side of the equation in muscle, people don't realize that muscle is the most important organ system in terms of disposing of glucose, of sugar in your bloodstream. And you say, so what? But the point is, we are now learning, and I guarantee you that, that whatever the number is on your blood test that says normal range for sugar is going to be changed in the same way that it happened with cholesterol 10 years ago. We are, if you look at the lower end of the normal, look at the high end of normal range, and they are now showing that people living in that range have problems, have pathology. One of them has to do with brain function and dementia. Having too much sugar in your bloodstream is one of the most toxic conditions known to man. Diabetes is a devastating illness. People think, you have too much sugar. Every organ system goes to pieces with diabetes. Your kidneys, your vision,
your
nervous system.
Your heart. Right?
Heart
disease is the number one killer in the United States. But what people fail to realize is that diabetes causes heart disease. So it's really diabetes is the number one killer in the United
exactly.
States.
Exactly. Exactly. Or even if you don't qualify for diabetes, if you have too much fat tissue, you're going to have cardiovascular disease. Because of the inflammation, which, completely messes up your vasculature.
Well, what you just said a moment ago, we actually did a show in 2013, I think it was. There was a study that was published that showed that people who are within considered the pre-diabetic range, which is below 125 milligrams.
Right.
They actually develop all the same diseases that someone who has frank type 2 diabetes does, just slower. So it's not like
right.
as though... And this is my frustration when people go, and when I'm talking to people who want to know things, right? And I'll say, well, what is your blood sugar like? Well, my doctor said it's normal. Well, what's normal? Well, it's 120. It's not 120. That's
right.
not normal.
Right.
Now, between you and me, I'm going to brag for a second. My fasting blood sugar is 67, 62, 66. Because I practice intermittent fasting regularly. I have my last meal
that's
at
great.
6 p.m. But when I tell people that, they think that that's unrealistic to achieve. No, you just have to train the body back the way you got used to being
right.
high.
Right. Let me say something about lab tests here, because I think this is important. If you were to look at some stock that you were interested in buying, there was a company publicly traded, would you look at one cross-sectional point in time at what it's worth and make a decision about whether you're going to buy it? No. But this is what people do with their lab tests. They go in, the doctors, what the doctors do? I hate to say this, but not all of them, but, they're so pressed for time now. The
right.
system is so broken in so many ways.
Yes.
You come in, you sit down, they scan your lab sheet in the abnormal column, and if there's nothing there, hey, Johnny, you're good to go. See you next year.
Wow.
And this is the thing. If you're looking at a company and thinking of buying it, you want to see what it's done over time. What are the trends? Has it been going up lately? Has it been going down? And that's what you need to do with your lab results. And you know who should be doing that? The patient.
Yes.
The patient and the doctor, but if not the doctor, the patient at least, right? You should have those lab tests are yours. You own them. They're your right to have. And you should have them, and you can look back and say, hey, nobody wakes up Tuesday morning and they're a diabetic. Right?
Right.
I mean, it's something that's been happening over the past 10 years.
Yeah.
So you want to see a trend, and if you see a trend, you address the trend. You don't. By the time you're in an abnormal lab value category, you're way down the road.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you're right. You're right. We have to take a break. This is exciting.
Sure.
And we're going to talk more, and we're going to talk about, and you're right. I've been railing against BMI I've been railing against the term weight loss. It's funny because when you say it, my audience is going, yeah, because your weight is just a gravitational representation of what you are doing on that scale. It doesn't tell you what you're made of, which is much more important. And the fact is, people are always so focused on losing weight. And I tell them, yeah, you know what? Cancer patients lose weight. Ask them if they want to lose weight. No, they don't want to lose weight. They want to gain weight. So
I couldn't agree more. All right,
so let's do this. Let's take a quick commercial break. And when we come back, we'll get into this a little deeper. Stay tuned.
New Mass Pro Synthogen X2 just upped its own legendary game. To distance itself even further from the rest of the pack, Synthogen X2 now has double the key active ingredients. If you've ever wondered what steroid-like recovery feels like, Synthogen X2 delivers. See why others compare it favorably to powerful bodybuilding drugs at Synthogen.com. Mass Pro Synthogen. When you train with it, you'll gain with it.
The benefits of a ketogenic diet are immeasurable. Health, resist disease, mental function, and even performance. But getting into ketosis can take weeks, if even at all. Now you can get into ketosis in 10 minutes. KetoCana is the first ketone powder that has been clinically shown to switch you into a ketogenic state by providing a rush of ketones into the bloodstream. Like to train fasted or want to spare more muscle glycogen during workouts? Take a shot of KetoCana and hit it hard. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Keto Cana banner ad today.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You, too, can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at livonlabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's livonlabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, labs.com.
4.6 million years of evolution gave us the blueprint for the perfect protein supplement for humans. So why do all protein supplement manufacturers ignore it? We don't. The first human-appropriate protein supplement is Thrive Advanced. Built around the blueprint of mother's milk, Thrive Advanced contains the amino acids, peptides, micronutrients, enzymes, probiotics, and vitamins that support protein absorption and assimilation. All of our dairy proteins come from happy cows on pastures here in the United States and are low-heat pasteurized. You'll never find any artificial sweeteners, additives, or ingredients. You won't even find thickeners or gums in Thrive Advanced. And we back up our label claims with post-production lab analysis that's available right on our website. Visit superhumanradio.com and click the Thrive Advanced banner ad and use code SHR and save 50% off your entire order today.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 1-800-516-0514 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 1-800-516-0514 to take your call right now. Call 1-800-516-0514. That's 1-800-516-0514. Again, 1-800-516-0514.
Superhuman Radio has the smartest and most dedicated health and fitness listeners found anywhere in the world. If you're trying to tap this market of greater than 50 million health fitness consumers, you simply can't do better than advertising on Superhuman Radio. Our sponsors tell us Superhuman Radio outperforms other forms of advertising time and time again. If you're tired of wasting valuable advertising dollars and need a new way to build your client base, go to superhumanradio.com and click on the Advertise With Us link. It just may be the best thing you have ever done for your business.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing.
Wow, that's an old commercial. The truth is I've been using CanSee eye drops for 11 years now, and I credit CanSee eye drops as being the reason that I do not need reading glasses glasses at 58 years old. CanSee eye drops improve the quality and health of your eyes indefinitely. That's why I both use and endorse CanSee eye drops. Go to wisechoicemedicine.com and learn about how CanSee eye drops can improve the health of your eyes and the quality of your vision today.
You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. Don't hate us because we feel good.
Welcome back. We're talking with Dr. Paul Spector. His website is meaningfulfitness.org. If you are in and around the New York area, he is very, very close to you, and you can find some of his fantastic articles on the Huffington Post website. So, a lot of doctors are having a hard time getting on board with what is obviously starting to show up in medicine, whether you're treating major depressive disorder, type 2 diabetes, any of what is considered syndrome X or metabolic disorders today, that rigorous exercise, which we have from an evolutionary perspective, and you know, part of my frustration is doctors don't pay attention to evolution at all, but that's another story. You know,
it's not. It's the same story.
No. Right. I know. But you know, this question here is. Doctors say to me all the time, I have a lot of physicians who listen to the show, a lot of enlightened physicians out there. They say, Carl, we can't even get them to take their meds. How are we going to get them to go to the gym 3 times a week and train rigorously, walk more often? How are we going to do it? Patient compliance always is the issue. What do you think? What do you say?
Well, I'll tell you. This is the thing. It's a very interesting situation. I mean, I think it's very unusual. I don't care what industry you're talking about. Let's say you know, in any industry, let's say you had, you know, 3-4 problems that were the causing all the trouble, bankrupting the industry. You understood those problems. You knew how to prevent them, but you couldn't do it. That's what's happening now in medicine. We know what the diseases are that are, you know, causing all the pathology, that are bankrupting the system. We know the intervention, and we can't do it. Why? Because there's nothing more difficult than changing human behavior.
Yep.
But the problem is, to my mind, that people don't understand. I mean, first of all, as you say, you know, most doctors are not in shape.
Yeah.
There have been numerous studies that have shown that, you know, somebody who is giving you advice that isn't, you know, walking the walk, it doesn't land. People
yeah.
don't do it. So, you know, if you look at medical training, if you look at the sleep deprivation, if you look what they eat in hospital cafeterias, if you look at how much they learn about nutrition, if you look about what they know about physical exercise, if you look at what they know about evolution, it's embarrassing. But this is the thing, and this is one of the biggest misconceptions that causes trouble. Doctors don't know about health. Doctors know about disease. It's not a healthcare system. It's a sickness system. It's a disease care system. You don't have really a place to get help in the medical system until you're sick. That's a problem.
Right. Okay. So does it stop? But there was a period of time where I was going to become an optometrist, right? And so I went to some of the ophthalmic programs at New York City Tech, and the labs were outfitted by Bausch and Lomb. They gave us all of our contact lenses that we used for lab classes. Zeiss, all the slit lamps with Zeiss, all the keratometers with Bausch. So these companies, they want to infiltrate the school. Because they know when you open your practice, you're going to buy a Bausch and Lomb keratometer. You're going to buy a Zeiss slit lamp. You're going to buy Bausch and Lomb lenses. So where do we go with it? Because to me, the problem is the education of a doctor. We did a show a year ago. A woman wrote a fantastic book. More doctors are committing suicide after they graduate than ever before. They're straddled with debt. And then they're stripped of their dreams. Because they're told, no, you can't go out and help people like that. You do this. This is what you do. And most people are disgusted once they become physicians and even nurses. So what do we do about the schools?
What
do we do about
the
schools?
I see it. I think that, you know, there is a paradigm shift that needs to happen. I think that the things we're talking about, you know, health, lifestyle, how to take care of yourself, these are not medical issues. And I think as a culture, we have to stop looking to physicians for these kinds of answers. Because not only do they not have them, but as soon as you enter the medical system, you're entering, you know, a conception that is a pathology model. It's a disease model. And we're not talking about disease. It's not a medical problem, these things, really. It's a cultural problem.
Right.
These are things that are caused by lifestyle. And so what we need to do is have people who are skilled at behavioral change, for instance, and, you know, educated about the science of this stuff. But it's a very different thing than medicine. I don't think we can look to the doctors for this problem.
That's a really,
you know,
good
obviously
point.
Once you have diabetes, you need a doctor. But, you know, let's look at the prevention side of it. And as you know, type 2 diabetes is something that you can cure. If
yes.
you lose the weight, you know, if you're active, you know, you can take care of yourself and get better. And so that's my opinion. I think that you need to look to a different community of professionals and a different set of solutions. It's not going to, but the trouble is, you know, the public has been trained.
Mm-hmm.
We've been trained that, you know, if there's something wrong with you, you go to the doctor, they give you something. And that's the thing. We have to empower the people again.
Well, look,
are never going to have a diet or a pill or a supplement that is going to have the wisdom of a million years of evolution.
Dr. Spector.
We are the most exquisite instruments on the planet, you know, and if we allow ourselves what we need, which is really quite simple, you don't even have to join a gym. You need a floor to do some, you know, you need to move.
Right.
You need to get rid of your chair at your desk. You know, you need to make very, you can start with very small changes that you don't need money for, you don't need more time for.
But you know, Dr. Spector, but here's the problem, right? And I'm with you on this.
Yeah.
But here's the problem. At the beginning of every exercise book, check with your physician. On the bottle of every supplement, check with your physician. Everybody is told to check with their physician. I want to tell you a story. When I turned 39,
sure.
I was very sick. I was morbidly obese. They don't even use that term anymore, right? I was 350 pounds. I had
wow.
developed a heart problem. I was getting slated for a pacemaker.
Sure.
I remember telling my doctor, I started digging into the research. I found out that resistance training caused remodeling of the heart. I understood I needed to remodel my heart. Now I go down the road. I'm losing weight now. I'm not on the meds any longer. I say to my physician, I want to use this protein powder. Nice guy, Dr. Jim Swift. Well-meaning. He looks at the protein powder. He turns it around. He doesn't even read it. He goes, I wouldn't use this, and hands it back to me. So, what, you know, we're told to go to our doctor and ask their permission first to do these things. And then they summarily, and I understand why, because this is a litigious nation. If he says something to me and it has nothing to do with the fact that I died, he's going to get blamed for my death. We have to stop this nonsense where we have to go ask our doctor if we can fart.
Yeah. I agree.
All right. So, with getting back to the subject at hand, as we age, everybody thinks their metabolism slows down. But isn't that another way of saying you're losing muscle mass?
Sure. I mean, you're losing other things too. You know, there are things that you want to check, you know, if it seemed like it was, you know, sudden, like thyroid function and things like that. But, you know, the thing is, you have biological changes. You know, let me just say something about aging in general. We have certain notions about aging that are wrong. They may be statistically correct. You know, just because there are a lot of people who age a certain way doesn't mean that's normal aging, right? That's like saying, you know, what's normal weight? Well, if you give a statistical answer, you'll be talking about people who are quite overweight. Right?
Right.
What's a majority of people and that's normal weight? No. Those people aren't at a normal weight. In the same way, you know, our model of aging is based on how most people age. Most people don't age the way they could. So, why? Well, lifestyle. as we get older, you know, we become much less active. We don't become much less active because we have less energy. We lose energy because we're less active.
Mm-hmm.
We have the equation flip-flopped, right? But the irony is, you know, just because you have a job doesn't mean you can't be active. You can be at a standing desk with a treadmill. You can be standing up. I mean, they have shown, for instance, that if you stand up every 15 minutes throughout the day, you burn a huge number of calories. The other thing is, you know how they have cars now that if you stop at a red light, the engine goes off?
Yeah, yeah.
And then it goes green and, you know, you hit the gas and the engine goes back on?
Right.
Our bodies are the same way, you know, because we're designed to be the most efficient machines on Earth. I mean, the whole problem with regard to energy was getting enough of it, and that's how we're designed. So when you stop, when you sit down for more than, you know, 10, 15 minutes, your metabolic rate goes down.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is put onto a lower pace. That's an evolutionary thing. You're not going to change that. But you can change it by just standing up. It's that simple. So things that we think are normal aging aren't normal aging. They're the consequence of changing the way we live. You look at kids, they're running around. You try to get a kid to sit still. And we say, oh, well, their metabolic rate's so high.
Yeah, because they don't
sit
down.
Their metabolic rate is high in part because they're kids, but it's also largely due to the amount of activity.
Right.
If they're awake, they're moving. An animal that doesn't move in nature is either sick or dead. But we, for some reason, think we can sit still for hours at a time with no negative consequences. Well, that's wrong.
Right. And you know what's funny? I just read an article, and one of the things I took away from it was the author pointed out that there are individuals on this planet who, because of their training, athletes, for instance, they can burn up to 23,000 calories in a day. And
sure,
when we think about that, those of us who are going to try to consume 2,000 calories a day and just and lead sedentary lives, if we were cars, they would be race cars, and we would be cars that idle all the time. And you know what happens if you just let your car idle day in and day out? The engine will go bad. So this idea that our body has the ability to put through and burn up 10 times more calories than we think it, that is an indication of what you're talking about. We are designed to be race cars. We're not designed to idle at the curb. I want to take a break, and we'll come back and we'll talk more about this. We're talking right now with Dr. Paul. I'm sorry. What did I do? I didn't do anything. Okay. All right, look, we're going to take a break. Stay tuned. I just did something to the station. Stay tuned.
$4.6 million years of evolution gave us the blueprint for the perfect protein supplement for humans. So why do all protein supplement manufacturers ignore it? We don't. The first human-appropriate protein supplement is Thrive Advanced. Built around the blueprint of mother's milk, Thrive Advance contains the amino acids, peptides, micronutrients, enzymes, probiotics, and vitamins that support protein absorption and assimilation. All of our dairy proteins come from happy cows on pastures here in the United States and are low-heat pasteurized. You'll never find any artificial sweeteners, additives, or ingredients. You won't even find thickeners or gums in Thrive Advance. And we back up our label claims with post-production lab analysis that's available right on our website. Visit superhumanradio.com and click the Thrive Advance banner ad and use code SHR and save 50% off your entire order today.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
Now, the number one best-selling non-hormonal anabolic agent at PredatorNutrition.com. Progenidrex has established itself as the category killer. If you're having difficulty gaining muscle while staying lean, you owe it to yourself to try Progenidrex. 100% of store reviews rated it at 5 stars, the highest possible ranking. And today, right now, there are guys pouring their hearts out in the gym with little or nothing to show for it. Don't waste any more time. Go to PredatorNutrition.com today and get Progenidrex, the world's absolute best drug-free muscle gainer.
Few products can boast being considered the food of the gods by the Aztecs, but the ingredients in Bio Superfood have been. Some algae are the most efficient forms of nutrients, proteins, minerals, enzymes, fatty acids, antioxidants, and much more. Bio Superfood is something you have to experience for yourself. That's why, for a limited time, buy any Bio Superfood products and save 15% off your first order. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the banner ad to read the research and learn why Bio Superfood is the best supplement in the world you're not already taking. Alaskans agree that sockeye offers the truest salmon taste. Over decades of fishing Alaskan waters, Vital Choice has rare access to the very finest of these fish. Vital Choice sockeye comes from smaller harvest regions with fewer boats and faster processing, so our sockeye is flash frozen within hours of harvest to capture its fresh caught quality. Rich in flavor, omega-3s, and vitamin D, our most popular salmon also abounds in astaxanthin, the potent antioxidant that provides its vibrant red hue. Save 15% off. Go to Superhuman Radio and click the Vital Choice banner ad today.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at livonlabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's livonlabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, labs.com.
Move over, superheroes. This is the Superhuman Channel.
Welcome back. Sorry about the abruptness of going into the break. I thought I shut down our broadcast, and so I started to panic. We're talking with Dr. Paul Spector. Meaningfulfitness.org is his website. If you're in the New York area, you can reach out to him. Where do you stand on HRT, Dr. Spector?
You know, I think that it's very much, excuse me, an individual case of, you know, what's going on. And, you know, one of the things that I think is so interesting along the lines of what we're talking about is the way that you can change your physiology by the way you behave and the way you eat and the way you sleep. So I think that that's always where you want to start. And I think the problem, as we were saying, is that so often people become symptomatic in some way. Something's not working right. And what they do is they change nothing, go to the doctor and, you know, get a prescription or not. So, for instance, one of the most important things I think we've learned over the past decade or so, and this is really interesting research, is that, you know, all the different organ systems communicate with each other. So one of the reasons muscle is so important is, you know, beyond its, you know, clearing, you know, glucose from the bloodstream and things, and it's being your powerhouse in terms of being able to move around and prevent yourself from falling and being able to, you know, be comfortable in your body, is that when muscle is used, it secretes these chemical messengers that are sent out, and they're anti-inflammatory agents. Mm-hmm. And, you know, inflammation, again, I can't say it enough. I know it sounds sort of, you know, nondescript, but the thing is, when we don't move and when we eat, you know, a Western diet and we don't sleep enough, we eat too many, you know, processed foods or too much carbohydrate, that causes inflammation, and it's something on a cellular level that begins to take our system apart. It just starts at the foundation of, you know, the body in the cells, and it makes the body not work. And the benefit of moving, of eating fresh, unprocessed food, of getting enough sleep, of being hydrated, you know, these simple things. So, you know, I think the problem is it's very unusual for people to go through, you know, trying those things before they are on a medication.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
You want to increase testosterone as you're aging as a man. Well, the best way to do that is to move and to, you know, lift heavier things and use your lower body and your powerhouse and, you know, put on some muscle mass, and you will increase your testosterone. Right? You know that better than anyone.
Well, but the truth is that I've been on HRT since 2007, but my story is a little bit different. And I actually shut down my own testosterone production by using some performance-enhancing drugs when I was practicing as a power lifter. And so I had to make a decision. I went through a very painful year, and I understand how women feel when they realize that they won't have a baby again. Because it's like, even though they don't want to have a baby, the finality, the cessation of the ability to have a baby is very traumatic for some women when they go through menopause. They think, oh my God, I'd never have a baby again. I know I didn't want to, but I'll never be able. And when I realized that I was never going to be able to produce a healthy level of testosterone again on my own, because of derangement of the HPT axis, I had to go on testosterone. I had to make a decision. I lived for a year in what I call the danger zone of low testosterone, the kind of testosterone levels where men start to develop Parkinson's disease. And I thought, if I can't get it back up with HCG and clomiphene, and I was working with a doctor, an andrologist.
Well, that's a different situation.
Yeah.
I mean, that's absolutely reasonable.
Yeah.
But do you know the most common cause of low testosterone?
No, what is it?
Obesity.
Oh, yeah, because it gets siphoned off to estrogen.
Fat.
Yeah.
Right.
Aromatase, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So talk
people
about...
Don't think that. You know, they'll go and they'll try and get the testosterone rather than drop the, you know, fat.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Talk about sleep for a second. You know, sleep has changed. I don't know. I probably can count on one hand the people that I know that when we talk about sleep tell me, oh, I sleep like a baby. I sleep fantastic. So...
Right.
If you had a count on the top three things that people do wrong that could be easily corrected to improve the quality of their sleep, what would it be?
I think it would be sleep hygiene, you know, which includes having a room where the temperature is, you know, a little bit lower than, you know, they would want to have during the day.
Mm-hmm.
It's truly dark. There's no machines. You know, computers, cell phones, chargers, you know, answering machine, none of that with light. And that they don't do anything to help the body clock orient itself to on and off. This is a huge health issue that I've written a lot about, and I think it's really important. I'm an advocate of melatonin. You know, people don't realize that, you know, we are made so that our biology is totally different at night than it is during the day. There are thousands of genes that are turned off or turned on by our body clock. You know, every cell in our body actually has a clock. It's amazing. And what that means is that there's a certain schedule that our bodies will function best with. I happen to be one of those people who believes that you should probably try to not eat after dark. And if you do, make it your smallest meal of the day. Because what sets the body clock? There are two main things, light and food.
Yep.
Energy. And that signals the body that it is not time to shut down and go into a reparative, regenerative sleep mode. So you have your biggest meal of the day, your sleep is going to be messed up. If you're thinking that you can walk into bed, and what do people do after the, this is another thing that, you know, it's all connected, isn't it? If you look at, if you ask people, give me a graph across a page, you know, of your activity over the course of the day. And, you know, it goes up and down at different hours and everything. And then you say, okay, below that line, graph your intake of food over the course of the day. And they do. It goes up and down, you know, at different points. There's no correlation. Why would that be interesting? Because we've lost track of the fact that we eat to get energy to be physically active.
Right.
So if you have your largest feed a couple hours before you go to bed, and you basically go from sitting at the table to sitting at a desk or sitting in front of the television or reading a book in a chair, and then you lay down and go to sleep, and you wonder why you're gaining weight, well, it's not a mystery.
Yeah.
You know, but if you stand, if you take a walk, even just something like taking a walk after, you know, dinner, your insulin sensitivity goes up. Why is insulin sensitivity important? Because that's the thing that's going to say we store it and we put it into fat. You know, that's, you want to be really insulin sensitive. So how do you get your insulin sensitivity up? By moving. And by not allowing yourself to have, you know, these real sedentary periods. So, I'm sorry, I went off on
No, 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 that's good. I mean, you covered a couple really important topics. So the first one is that there has been a study that shows that getting up and moving after a meal lowers postprandial blood sugar levels as well, if not better, than metformin, the gold standard
Correct.
For treating this, number one.
Correct.
So the reality is the old people, I'm Italian, my grandfather used to go for a walk after a meal. The old people,
exactly.
They knew. They got up and they moved after they ate. They didn't sit in the
right.
chair and watch it, number
right.
one. Number two,
right.
I did a show with yeah. Dr. Dale Bredesen from UCLA in 2012. He's the guy who's actually reversing Alzheimer's disease with lifestyle changes, right? Lifestyle
yep.
change. So one of the things that he makes these people do is last meal, 6 p.m., in bed by 9 p.m. And he says that stimulates both baseline and a spike of autophagy at night that helps to clean the brain out. So when
right.
I did that show, I thought, hey, if it's good for them, it's good for me. So I have my last meal at 6 p.m. I put my blue blocker sunglasses on at 7 p.m.
Yeah.
So what
very
little
good.
Melatonin my body can still produce, it produces. I'm in bed at 9 p.m. and I take my rest of my melatonin. And I sleep good. As a rule, I sleep good. Lately, I haven't been, but I have some other issues going on right now with my lumbar spine.
Yeah.
But the truth of the matter,
you know,
is...
Let me just build on one of the things you said.
Please.
Because I think it's so important. So, you know, there's a large body of research now that recently showing that if you take in the same number of calories, but you take them in over 24 hours. You can eat whenever you want. Same food, same, you know, nothing different. And then you take those same people, you give them the same amount of calories, but you limit the intake to daylight hours. The ones who can eat the same number of calories all day long, 24 hours, are gaining weight. The ones who are just eating it during daylight hours are losing weight.
Mm-hmm.
Same number of calories, no change in physical activity,
right.
No change in food content. It's remarkable, right? But that's because our physiology is different during the day. You know, it's like nature's darkness diet. I mean, you know, it's really very powerful. And if you can, take in your largest meal in the middle of the day.
Right. In my case, I have the majority of my food post-workout. I get up and I train very, very hard in the gym in the morning. Generally, I get there around 7:30. My first meal happens around 10. I have another meal maybe 2 hours later and then another meal 2 hours later. And really, I don't eat much after that. By the time I'm home, I'll have a small little nibble, something high protein, high fat around 6. I'm done.
Right.
So really, and I stay fasted. I fast, as a rule, at least 16 hours. And I train fast
right,
in the morning.
Right, that's the
as
other
well.
Thing. Intermittent fasting, it's fantastic.
I like
you know,
the term.
Good. If people want to read some of the things I've written about this, which are you know for the lay public, not for the medical audience, but for just normal people, if you Google Paul Spector, MD, and then let's say aging or body clock, you know, or you know timing, you'll get those articles. Because they've been in a variety of places, but it's stuff that, you know, people deserve to know, but for some reason, you know, isn't really being disseminated by credible people, you know, so it's remaining an area of ignorance.
Yeah. I want to take our last commercial break. When we come back, we'll summarize and wrap it up. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
new Mass Pro Synthogen X2 just upped its own legendary game. To distance itself even further from the rest of the pack, Synthogen X2 now has double the key active ingredients. If you've ever wondered what steroid-like recovery feels like, Synthogen X2 delivers. See why others compare it favorably to powerful bodybuilding drugs at Synthogen.com. Mass Pro Synthogen. When you train with it, you'll gain with it.
Mitochondrial uncoupling is the holy grail of fat loss. Making mitochondria work harder raises body temperature and metabolic rate without the jitters of stimulants. Now there is an over-the-counter mitochondrial uncoupler that will let you shred your body down to the last pounds of body fat. It's Trojan Horse. This is the supplement breakthrough of the decade. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Trojan Horse banner ad. Use coupon code SHR and save 20% off your order today. BlackstoneLabs.com. Trojan Horse.
Quest Keto is making the ketogenic lifestyle more delicious and more convenient than ever. The high-fat, moderate-protein, low-carb keto diet has earned a reputation for being complicated. Quest Keto has changed all of that by offering sweet and savory snacks and an entire line of ready-to-go ketogenic meals. They've taken the guesswork out of it for you. From keto cinnamon rolls, pizza, crackers, and more, you can enjoy it all and experience the benefits of this nutritious approach anytime, anywhere. Thanks to Quest Keto. Go to QuestKeto.com to order your meals today.
Ever feel like you want something crunchy? From the company that gave us the Quest Protein Bar, now comes the Quest High Protein Potato Chips. With 21 grams of high quality protein and only 5 grams of carbs and no artificial ingredients. Just like Quest bars, you'll feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest High Protein Potato Chip banner ad today and get ready to be satisfied. Thanks to Quest Nutrition, chips just aren't what they used to be.
Hey, this is Carl. I want to remind you of the importance of electrolytes. Because of all the workout supplements on the market today, I think electrolytes are the most important but the most overlooked. Check out the new Jigsaw Electrolyte Supreme. It contains a broad spectrum of electrolytes plus a few extra minerals and vitamins. The lemon-lime flavor tastes great, and it comes in single-serving packets that make it easy for you to take on the go. Visit superhumanradio.com and click the Jigsaw Electrolyte Supreme banner ad today and save 10% off your purchase.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control over your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. Tax Mediation Services is accredited by the Better Business Bureau. Call now for a free case review and a price protection guaranteed quote.
Call Tax Mediation Services now at 800-616-0820. That's 800-616-0820. 800-616-0820.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing.
Wow, that's an old commercial. The truth is I've been using CanSee eye drops for 11 years now, and I credit CanSee eye drops as being the reason that I do not need reading glasses at 58 years old. CanSee eye drops improves the quality and health of your eyes indefinitely. That's why I both use and endorse CanSee eye drops. Go to wisechoicemedicine.com and learn about how CanSee eye drops can improve the health of your eyes and the quality of your vision today.
This is the Superhuman Channel, where brawn and brains finally meet.
Welcome back. We're talking with Dr. Paul Spector. So, let's talk about your practice. We're coming to the end of the interview. Meaningful Fitness. .org. You're in New York. What kind of services can you provide listeners who listen to the show that are up in that area?
Well, what I really do is prevention. I'm most focused on helping people figure out, why they're not getting the changes that they'd hoped for with, what they're trying in terms of diet or exercise or medication. I've really left medical practice, and what I am doing is helping people use the most recent scientific advances for their own daily lives. And it's really something that's it's not difficult to do because many of the findings involve, you know, changes in behavior that are quite small. For instance, you know, having a timer and standing up periodically during the day, taking a walk after a meal, using cold water and heat. You know, one of the things that I find quite interesting is people's conception of stress, you know, and it's all the problems. Really, we have the wrong stressors and not enough of the right ones.
Right.
If you think about it, I mean, exercise is a stressor. Fasting is a stressor. You want to introduce certain stressors in certain doses into your life. I think that, you know, the fact that we live in this thermal control, that we don't experience ups and downs in temperature,
right,
is a problem. We need to be exposed to it. We've got all the data on how that boosts the immune system, it prevents cancer, it slows aging. So it's many of those sorts of things that I help my clients work with.
So it sounds like you're a fan of going right from the hot sauna to the cold shower, huh?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I love it.
Absolutely.
Love that. And you know what's funny? When you do that contrast type work with your body, and then you're in a gruelingly hot, uncomfortable day, everyone else around you is complaining, and you're fine with it. It actually kind of sets what your limits of comfort become.
Exactly. In both directions. You can be in the cold, and you've tolerated much better.
Yeah.
And it also is tremendous for circulation. You know, people who, you know, all of a sudden there's so many people who have Raynaud's, or there's so many people with poor circulation. Why? It's because of the way we're living.
Yeah.
It's not a coincidence.
Diseases of modernity.
You know, exploding.
Yeah, diseases of modernity are the new types of diseases.
Yeah.
And quite frankly, the new evolutionary selection pressure is where you get your information from. So if you get your information from somebody like Dr. Spector versus getting your information from somebody like, I hate to say it, Dr. Oz. You know,
yeah.
Dr. Oz is confusing. Sometimes he says good things. Other times he says bad things. And what that does to his audience, it goes, well, I don't know what. I remember one week in particular where he talked about beets. Was it beets being something good to eat? And then later in the week, they were talking about sugar beets being genetically modified. And he didn't differentiate between. So he looked into the audience. He goes, oh, beets are no good. And no, the sugar beet is. I mean, so where you get your information from today will determine your longevity and your health span and the longevity and health span of your children. We see children today developing diseases. Typically, the elderly develop. We have children developing colorectal cancer and breast cancer.
No,
it's sad.
I mean, for the first time, we have a generation of Americans who are probably not going to live as long as their parents did. I mean, it's just, it's stunning. And I think you can't blame the people. I think it's very difficult when, you know, one year, you know, there's the panacea and the next year it's poison.
Yes.
I think it's very confusing times. And that's why I feel so committed to trying to get the word out on what's based in science. You know, what do we have good data for? You know, what is, you know, reasonable to apply to your life and not some, you know, miracle cure that, you know, God knows what's in it.
Now, is that you, the picture on your website?
Yes.
You're in magnificent shape. I'm going to be 59 in June. May I ask how old you are?
I'm 62.
God bless you. You look fantastic. And you see, this comes full circle to what we said before. We did a show a couple of years ago about a study that showed that doctors weren't talking to their patients about healthy lifestyle issues and obesity. And I asked the scientist who was the lead author, I said, could it be because doctors are obese, they don't feel comfortable having that discussion? Well, how am I, an obese doctor, going to tell you, an obese patient, change your lifestyle when I'm not? Now you go,
exactly.
So, and I actually created a meme of an obese doctor with the stethoscope on. I said, don't ever trust a fat doctor. It's the truth. And then you see somebody like you and you go, wow, that's what I want to look like. That's the guy I want to get my information
it's
from.
It's funny. I totally agree with you. You know, when I was when I was in training in medical school, it wouldn't be unusual for there to be an ashtray in a doctor's office and he'd be smoking a cigarette. I mean, times haven't changed enough, though.
Right.
You know, I mean, being overweight is the same as smoking. People don't, don't get that.
Yeah.
It's as big a risk factor.
Terrible. Listen, it's been really, really great visiting with you. I want to thank you so much for coming on the show. The website is meaningfulfitness.org. If you're up in the New York area, I'm sure New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, you can get to work with the good doctor there. Listen, thanks so much for being on the show.
Thank you. It was great talking to you.
Take care. We're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we're going to talk about how the microbiome of the mouth may be one of the earlier indicators of the onset of metabolic disorder. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio.
AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your questions. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn. Teach. Lead.
Do you know how to properly use carbohydrates to ignite your performance in the field and in the gym? You will now, thanks to this free book by EFX Sports. The Carb User's Guide for Maximum Performance reveals why omitting carbohydrates from your diet can totally crush your gains. Ever wonder how many grams you need for your specific sport? Not anymore. We give you the critical number you need to dominate your competition. You'll even discover the super carb that's taking the athletic world by storm. You must try it to believe it. Go to getcarbolin.com/carb guide today and get your copy absolutely free. Once again, it's getcarbolin.com/carbguide.
The benefits of a ketogenic diet are immeasurable. Health, resist disease, mental function, and even performance. But getting into ketosis can take weeks, if even at all. Now you can get into ketosis in 10 minutes. KetoKana is the first ketone powder that has been clinically shown to switch you into a ketogenic state by providing a rush of ketones into the bloodstream. Like to train fasted or want to spare more muscle glycogen during workouts? Take a shot of KetoKana and hit it hard. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the KetoKana banner ad today.
6 million years of evolution gave us the blueprint for the perfect protein supplement for humans. So why do all protein supplement manufacturers ignore it? We don't. The first human-appropriate protein supplement is Thrive Advanced. Built around the blueprint of mother's milk, Thrive Advanced contains the amino acids, peptides, micronutrients, enzymes, probiotics, and vitamins that support protein absorption and assimilation. All of our dairy proteins come from happy cows on pastures here in the United States. And are low-heat pasteurized. You'll never find any artificial sweeteners, additives, or ingredients. You won't even find thickeners or gums in Thrive Advanced. And we back up our label claims with post-production lab analysis that's available right on our website. Visit superhumanradio.com and click the Thrive Advanced banner ad and use code SHR and save 50% off your entire order today.
Few products can boast being considered the food of the gods by the Aztecs, but the ingredients in Bio Superfood have been. Some algae are the most efficient forms of nutrients, proteins, minerals, enzymes, fatty acids, antioxidants, and much more. Bio Superfood is something you have to experience for yourself. That's why, for a limited time, buy any Bio Superfood products and save 15% off your first order. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the banner ad to read the research and learn why Bio Superfood is the best supplement in the world you're not already taking.
Let me ask you a question. Are you getting enough? I bet you'd love more, right? Well, AdamandEve.com wants to give you more with 10 free gifts. First, you'll get a sexy surprise for her. Second, a specially selected toy for him. And third, a little something we know you'll both enjoy. Plus, you'll get 6 full-length adult movies on DVD. And number 10, free shipping on your entire order. So what do you have to do to get your 10 free gifts? It's not hard. Just go to AdamandEve.com and select any one item. It could be an adventurous new toy, sexy piece of lingerie, or anything you desire. Just enter offer code GIFT30 at checkout and you'll get all 10 free gifts. Go check out AdamandEve.com today. Select one item and get 10 free gifts, including free shipping. When you enter offer code GIFT30, that's G-I-F-T-30, at adamandeve.com.
Ever feel like you want something crunchy? From the company that gave us the Quest protein bar, now comes the Quest high protein potato chips with 21 grams of high quality protein and only 5 grams of carbs and no artificial ingredients. Just like Quest bars, you'll feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest High Protein Potato Chip banner ad today and get ready to be satisfied. Thanks to Quest Nutrition, chips just aren't what they used to be.
You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. We're ripped and we're ready.
Welcome back. Interesting study that looked at the changes in oral microbiome and the potential for those changes to be early warning signs of the development of metabolic disease. We're joined by Dr. Max Goodson from the Forsyth Institute. Welcome to the show, Dr. Goodson.
Thank you.
So what kind of gave you an idea that this study needed to be done? What led up to this point that this study was required?
Well, in 2009, I published a paper that was entitled, Is Obesity an Oral Bacterial Disease? And what I found in a group of American overweight adult women was that their oral microbiology was quite different from people that were not obese. And it was a real complex in my mind as to what bacteria might have to do with obesity. Approximately at that time, a new idea came into the literature, which was called infectobesity, the idea that it would be possible that a bacterial infection might be causing obesity. And seeing such dramatic differences in obese versus non-obese bacteria in the mouth made me think that this could be a problem. So I actually started this study in Kuwait. Now, Kuwait, why Kuwait? Kuwait is one of the highest incidences of obesity. Adult obesity in Kuwait is now close to 60%.
Wow.
It's growing apparently. I mean, it's increasing year by year. And almost 25% have type 2 diabetes in adulthood. So I decided, okay, the thing to do is to study children and go to a place like Kuwait that has a high level of obesity problem and see if the changes in bacteria, would tend to indicate that bacteria, are causing the disease. Well, in this study, we were looking at generally all the causes. So one of the things that we measured was salivary glucose. And salivary glucose isn't measured very often in clinical trials of this sort. And this is certainly the biggest study that's ever been reported. This is over 8,173 children we measured salivary glucose on. In that group, there was a relatively small number, I think it's 141, that had what I would consider to be high, that is, high salivary glucose. We did find that salivary glucose correlates very strongly with blood glucose. So we believed salivary glucose was an indicator of the development of what we would call hyperglycemia. Well, when I looked at the data, I was really quite surprised, and that particularly when we looked at the numbers of bacteria that we measured versus the concentration of glucose in the saliva, we found that it went down. And actually the composition of the bacteria changed dramatically because of the different sensitivity of each of the bacteria to apparently the presence of glucose, because many bacteria use glucose as a substrate.
Right.
And so what we found is that it actually went down, and we hypothesized from the literature who have measured pH, that is the acidity in saliva of people with type 2 diabetes versus people with no diabetes, that it actually goes down in diabetics as well. And we know that when we do glucose rinses, immediately the bacteria in the mouth start making organic acids, and that's what causes dental decay, for example. Well, interestingly, no one had really thought of the idea that the glucose that's coming from the salivary gland could be participating in oral disease, but we saw a very, very strong association between both dental caries and gingivitis and the presence of glucose in the saliva. More importantly, though, it appears, because these were only 10-year-old children, and what we're trying to study here is how does the disease develop?
Right.
And the conclusion we came to in this particular situation is that the bacteria actually reduced as the glucose increased, but the disease propensity also increased. And it looks like, in fact, that actually simply measuring the pH of the saliva might actually be a very good surrogate for the evaluation of glucose in saliva, and in fact could be an indirect measure of individuals who are developing what we would call metabolic disease.
Okay, so I have to put some things together now in my brain.
Please.
So saliva is a natural filtrate of the blood. We know that. That's why they even can do some hormone testing now in saliva.
Yes.
So I want to make sure I understand something. So are you saying that even though there was high glucose, because of the presence of bacteria in the mouth that was feeding on the glucose, the salivary glucose actually registered lower than expected?
Well, no, the pH. The salivary glucose. No. You didn't get that right.
It's the opposite way. So the salivary glucose is still high in people with high blood sugar levels, right?
That's absolutely correct.
And then, of course, because there's an abundance of salivary glucose, we have a shift in or dysbiosis, if you will, of the microbes in the mouth, which would stand to reason because if you have more of a preferential food for now. Were these firmicutes that prosper, so to speak, in a high glucose environment, or were they Bacteroidetes in nature?
Well, we looked at that. We broke it down into the phyla. Those are phyla that you're speaking of right now, the Bacteroidetes and the Firmicutes.
Right.
And there have been many studies on animal models of what are called obese the infective cause of obesity, and they have reported that there is an accentuation, a reduction of Bacteroidetes and an increase in Firmicutes. These are in animal models.
Right.
Well, we see the same thing in these humans as we see. And what I am suggesting that the reason is not because of the fact that the bacteria necessarily have an effect on disease, and I didn't find any effect of the bacteria on disease, but that the glucose is actually changing the composition of the bacteria. That is, you're getting more Firmicutes and less Bacteroidetes, because the Bacteroidetes are more sensitive to the acid that's produced when glucose is provided, whereas the Firmicutes are more resistant.
I love it. I love it. I love two things about what you just said. Number one, the dental industry works very hard to try to establish causative relationship.
That's correct.
You're doing is correlating, which I love, because what goes on in the mouth probably is going on in the blood and in the stomach as well. We know that the microbes in the gut, they don't just stay in the gut. They come upstream and downstream. So we know
all bacteria in the GI tract come from the mouth.
Yes. So
There's
I love
no other way to get there.
Right. I love what you're saying here, because what you're saying isn't, oh, the mouth is causing the disease. So you're saying, hey, this may be an early warning sign. When a dentist is doing a routine exam, a pH strip could go, oh, wait a minute, this child may be developing type 2 diabetes or this adult, maybe because of
That's
the
people.
I love this. This is brilliant. This is this is early warning sign that non-invasive. This is beautiful.
And everybody could check it in their own mouth for 3 cents, the cost of litmus paper.
So, and the other thing that you talked about, which we've talked about on the show, is that we know that infecting, if you will, for lack of better terms, with one type of bacteria over another. We've seen this in fecal transplants. We've seen obese people get lean. We've seen lean people get obese. We've seen lean mice get obese, vice versa.
Right.
When you implant the microbes from an obese mouse into a lean mouse, they take on those attributes. So the next question, well, we have to take a break. I have a question for you, and I'm hoping that you can elucidate, because one of the things that I am trying to understand better is how we can influence these microbes better and be proactive. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
The benefits of a ketogenic diet are immeasurable. Health, resist disease, mental function, and even performance. But getting into ketosis can take weeks, if even at all. Now you can get into ketosis in 10 minutes. KetoKana is the first ketone powder that has been clinically shown to switch you into a ketogenic state by providing a rush of ketones into the bloodstream. Like to train fasted or want to spare more muscle glycogen during workouts? Take a shot of Keto Kana and hit it hard. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Keto Kana banner ad today.
Superhuman Radio has the smartest and most dedicated health and fitness listeners found anywhere in the world. If you're trying to tap this market of greater than 50 million health fitness consumers, you simply can't do better than advertising on Superhuman Radio. Our sponsors tell us Superhuman Radio outperforms other forms of advertising time and time again. If you're tired of wasting valuable advertising dollars and need a new way to build your client base, go to superhumanradio.com and click on the Advertise With Us link. It just may be the best thing you have ever done for your business.
Quest Keto is making the ketogenic lifestyle more delicious and more convenient than ever. The high-fat, moderate-protein, low-carb keto diet has earned a reputation for being complicated. Quest Keto has changed all of that by offering sweet and savory snacks and an entire line of ready-to-go ketogenic meals. They've taken the guesswork out of it for you. From keto cinnamon rolls, pizza, crackers, and more, you can enjoy it all and experience the benefits of this nutritious approach anytime, anywhere. Thanks to Quest Keto. Go to QuestKeto.com to order your meals today.
Hey, this is Carl. I want to remind you of the importance of electrolytes. Because of all the workout supplements on the market today, I think electrolytes are the most important but the most overlooked. Check out the new Jigsaw Electrolyte Supreme. It contains a broad spectrum of electrolytes plus a few extra minerals and vitamins. The lemon-lime flavor tastes great, and it comes in single-serving packets that make it easy for you to take on the go. Visit superhumanradio.com and click the Jigsaw Electrolyte Supreme banner ad today and save 10% off your purchase.
Mitochondrial uncoupling is the holy grail of fat loss. Making mitochondria work harder raises body temperature and metabolic rate without the jitters of stimulants. Now there is an over-the-counter mitochondrial uncoupler that will let you shred your body down to the last pounds of body fat. It's Trojan Horse. This is the supplement breakthrough of the decade. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Trojan Horse banner ad. Use coupon code SHR and save 20% off your order today. BlackstoneLabs.com. Trojan Horse.
Spit that out right now. This is the Superhuman Channel.
Welcome back.
We're talking with Dr. Max Goodson about the potential for your saliva to be an early warning test that dentists can check to see if, in fact, you are starting to go down the wrong metabolic road. Before we talk about changes in microbes, Dr. Goodson, I just had a thought. There is a guy on the book circuit right now who's promoting a diet, a dietary approach to determining whether or not you are a high carbohydrate person or low carbohydrate person by getting people to chew a cracker to determine the amount of amylase that they produce, which obviously changes the quality of the cracker because amylase is in the saliva to start to pre-digest starches. I just had a thought. If, in fact, the microbes in my mouth are starting to change and they're starting to shift because of the abundance of glucose in my saliva, wouldn't it be true that carbohydrate metabolism, well, not metabolism, I'm sorry, breakdown in my mouth could actually be influenced by this dysbiosis? And in fact, I may break down carbohydrate starches in my mouth very well, but I could still be on the path to metabolic disorder.
Yeah, I think so. There is some evidence that amylase is an indicator of some oral diseases. To my knowledge, that hasn't been validated very well. But the important point that you alluded to before we broke before that I don't want you to miss, because you got it exactly, and that is, despite the fact that in 2009 I offered the hypothesis that there might be unique oral bacteria that cause the disease, this paper says, wait a minute, maybe it wasn't the bacteria, but it was actually the glucose that comes as a result of the disease is changing the bacterial composition, you
yes,
see.
Yes.
And that is the important takeaway right here. But there are other takeaways, because it also suggests ways in which we might be able to detect in ourselves or our children or our friends or whatever the changes that are leading to metabolic disease, because that's what we want. You know, there is no disease in the world more like a metabolic disease which should be prevented. That is the cure. That is to say, the surgical procedures and all that sort of thing are wonderful, and I'm amazed at the dramatic responses, but really, what we have to do is control it, that is, prevent it. This is a disease that we have to prevent. And that's why I'm studying children, you see.
Yeah.
Because that's where it starts.
So if we, is there any evidence, or is your next study going to be to take these same children, let's say, and then do a dietary intervention over some period of time that should, in theory, reestablish cellular insulin sensitivity, and at the same time lower circulating blood sugar, and at the same time change the diversity or the landscape of the oral microbiome?
Yeah, no, there is a possibility there. And, you know, because this is just one paper. I've published over 15 papers on this one project, because it was a major, major research project over a five-year period and 8,000 children, you know. And We actually do see that. That is an occurrence that we see in our data.
And obviously, there's another thought I just had.
Yep.
There's a recirculation of this glucose, right? So, if you digest food, and it raises blood sugar, and then that blood sugar shows up in your saliva, and you swallow it down again, you are basically redigesting and circulating it over. So there's got to be some sort of residual. I mean, this changes my thoughts on the fasting insulin glucose tolerance test.
Uh-huh, right.
Because you're basically swallowing that sugar over and over again.
It doesn't last very long. In fact, we had to work very hard to measure glucose. One of the things that we had to do to measure glucose in saliva, for example, is that we had to kill the bacteria, because they want to eat the glucose immediately and convert it into acids, okay?
Yes.
And so we boiled the samples before we assayed them to stabilize the glucose, because glucose isn't destroyed but boiling, but the life of the bacteria is. And also it tended to, or it would destroy the enzymes as well that were, that may be causing the effects.
Right.
So the amount of glucose in the mouth is like 1/100th the amount that's in the blood. So it's a very small amount, but it does have apparently a very dramatic effect on the microbiota. And that was, I think, the important one of the important observations that we made.
What do you hope, lay people, but more importantly, clinicians, dentists and clinicians out there, take away from this recent research?
Well, I think that what I would like to encourage people to begin to do is begin to look more to children and the early effects of metabolic, and recognizing the early effects of metabolic disease. We've published other papers that show that actually insulin, for example, can also be measured in saliva. And in obese children, it's often much higher than it is in the non-obese children. The other thing that we've measured is C-reactive protein.
Wow.
This paper was published about, 2 or 3 years ago, I guess. And we find that that's related to obesity. And so we have a number of factors in obesity that look very promising in terms of our ability to identify metabolic disease early in children. One of the things that we find when you work with children is they don't like to take blood samples. In fact, And they really freak out when you start taking blood from them.
Right.
Saliva's not a problem. We can line up 100 kids in a gymnasium and take 100 saliva samples in a half an hour, you know.
And
they don't have any problem with that at all. And so if we can measure these things in saliva, that's the place to start the detection, you know. I don't think I would have been able to do the study in Kuwait had I asked for blood samples.
Oh, I mean, and nobody wants to give blood, and not even adults, never mind kids. And you know,
of course not.
The idea that, you know, we are growing more and more to depend on saliva tests, ZRT kind of here in the United States, Dr. David Zaba, who appeared on my show a decade ago.
I see.
He was one of the guys who pioneered this whole saliva test for hormones and cortisol. We were always doing cortisol, diurnal cortisol, but now we have more. We could do with your research, C-reactive protein, you know, insulin is, so part of my frustration with the medical orthodoxy right now is they look at fasting blood sugar and they go, oh, you're under 125 milligrams a liter. You're fine. And that's not true, and it's not true for two reasons, because we learn more and more, as we talked about earlier in today's show, that prediabetes does all the same things that frank diabetes does, except it just does it slower as far as damaging the body. But more importantly, looking at blood sugar, without looking at the amount of insulin that the pancreas is having to produce in order to keep it at that level, is like looking at the distance between your gas pedal and the floorboard and trying to determine how fast you're going. You have no idea how metabolically deranged the body. The body could be running and producing all the insulin it can, and this person is at 98 milligrams a liter. You go, oh, you're fine. No, they're not fine. When doctors start checking fasting blood sugar and insulin and or C-peptide, and then going, oh, now we have a clear picture on what's going on with you. This leads to an opportunity for that. If they do saliva test for blood sugar and insulin, now we can go, you know, your blood sugar looks good, but it's really not, because your insulin is raging right now. And we know that insulin is the reason, we now know insulin is the reason for PCOS. Women who suffer from polycystic ovarian syndrome, it is mediated by insulin. Their hyperandrogenemia is caused by high insulin levels. So looking at their blood sugar is meaningless without looking at insulin. So I think what you've discovered here needs to be put on the fast track for doctors to start looking at both insulin and blood sugar at the same time. I love it.
I agree with you. Yeah, I think it's a very doable thing to do, and I think that we have the technology in our hands to do this early detection. And, you know, particularly when you consider the possibility that, for example, a simple measurement like pH, which you can do with litmus paper, could give you the first indication that your child or yourself are developing metabolic disease, then you have something that costs very little as an early diagnostic, and it should be applied to all children in the world, it would seem to me.
Yeah, because your kids are going for regular routine cleanings at least once a year. Your dentist can easily do these tests while they're sitting in the chair.
Yes.
The kid doesn't even know.
Absolutely.
I commend
chair
you.
Side.
I commend you. This is fantastic information. I hope that people are paying attention. And we do something.
Well,
more.
Thank you very much. I appreciate your enthusiasm.
thank you for being on the show, Dr. Goodson.
Okay, it's been a pleasure.
Take
Bye
care.
For now.
So there you go. That's exciting stuff right there. I like that kind of stuff. I want to thank my guests. So who did we have on tonight? Let's see what my memory's like. Dr. John Quindry for talking about quercetin and improving heart quality. Dr. Paul Spector for coming on and talking about the relationship between aging, muscle loss, and getting fatter. And, of course, Dr. Max Goodson. And tomorrow's Friday, which means I'll be in the studio with the lovely and talented Elisa Profumo. So hope you can tune in live for that. And if not, there's always the podcast. Thank you for listening today, and we'll see you tomorrow.
Dessert again.